Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, everyone. This is John Racine from the Church at Las Vegas, and sure glad you've tuned in this morning to listen to the Solid Rock radio broadcast. You know, as we start this morning, I want you to think about something. You know, when you woke up this morning, you probably didn't even think, wow, it's really good to be alive. But that's something that each of us should be thankful for. It's something that we take for granted, and yet our very life is able to happen because God, our Creator, gave us that life. It was our powerful Creator God that made us, that enables us to breathe, who created us so fearfully and wonderfully. And so, you know, the next time you wake up in the morning, I want you to consider that. Thank God that you can breathe, that you can live. And God wants us not to just live now, but He wants us to live everlastingly. He wants us to live forever. And that is possible through His Son, Jesus the Christ. Not something that just ends in death, but life. And so we're glad that we can consider those things. But this morning we want to consider an account back in the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings is a book of the Old Testament, and this morning we're going to look at how God powerfully worked in a situation where the people of Israel had turned away from Him and began to worship other so-called gods. This is the account of Ahab, the king of Israel, and it begins in 1 Kings chapter 16, starting in verse 29. It says, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, son of Omri, became king of Israel, and he reigned in Samaria over Israel 22 years. Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. He not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, but he also married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. He set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal that he built in Samaria. Ahab also made an Asherah pole and did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than did all the kings of Israel before him. Now, it always amazes me when I read little snippets like that from the scripture, how it just tells us the facts. And yet, when you think about what it's talking about, here is a king. Here's a human king that the Lord Himself gave life to, and yet he just considered it trivial to commit sins. And he just considered it trivial to set up an altar to Baal, a false god. And that statement that he did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel, to anger than did all the kings of Israel before him. What a statement that is. And do you and I really want to provoke the Lord to anger? You know, I'm more interested in doing what's right before the Lord and pleasing Him and knowing that I have His favor than walking in ways to provoke Him to anger. And of course, all these things He shares with us in the scripture so that we can know the will of God in the matters of life. And so, this account begins not shedding too great a light on Ahab. Now, because of his wickedness and because of his turning away from God and serving these false gods, it says in 1 Kings chapter 17, "Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word.'" So here's another character in this account, Elijah, the prophet of God. And what a difference between Ahab and Elijah. "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve." You know, Elijah knew the power of God, and he knew the goodness of God, and he committed to serve him. And because of that, the Lord took care of him. In verse 2 of chapter 17, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, 'Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the ravine of Cherith, east of Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there.' So he did what the Lord had told him, and he went to the ravine of Cherith, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook." Now, I'll tell you what, Elijah wasn't a perfect man either, and yet God took care of him. And you know, God gave Ahab lots of different opportunities during his kingship to repent and to turn back to God. And yet, as we'll see, he didn't listen to those things. Sometimes he had kind of a change of heart, but he had just made up his mind that he was going to do wrong in the Lord's eyes. And so we're going to take a look at more of this account when we come back. But first of all, we want to listen to a song by Casting Crowns called "Jesus, Friend of Sinners." And you know what? I'm glad that Jesus is my friend. And I just hope this morning, if you don't know him as your friend, that you will seek after him, that you'll ask questions and you'll pursue a relationship with him. All right, let's go ahead and listen to this first song then this morning.
Jesus, friend of sinners, we have strayed so far away. We cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up, I'm so double-minded. A plank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Hey, yeah. Yeah.
Jesus, friend of sinners, the one who's writing in the sand, made the righteous turn away and the stones fall from their hands. Us to remember we are all the least of these. Let the memory of your mercy bring your people to their knees.
Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. What if we put down our signs, crossed over the lines in love like you did? Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, sinners. Break our hearts for what breaks yours. You love every lost cause. You reach for the outcast. For the leper and the lame. They're the reason that you came. You are good, and your love endures forever. You are good.
Alright, let's go ahead and continue the account of King Ahab of Israel and Elijah the prophet. The account continues on in 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to go there and look at what happens next. It says, after a long time, in the third year, so this is the third year after Elijah had told Ahab no more rain in the land. It says, after a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. It says, now the famine was very severe in Samaria because of the drought, and Ahab had summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of his palace. Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord, and while Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water. And so here's another kind of an interesting sub-character, Obadiah, who is working under Ahab. He was in charge of the palace, and yet he was a devout believer in the Lord. And while Ahab's wife Jezebel was trying to kill off the Lord's prophets, here Obadiah's operating under the radar, as it were, and hiding the prophets of God and taking care of them and giving them food or water. And so Ahab had said to this Obadiah, verse 5, go through the land to all the springs and valleys. Maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive so that we will not have to kill any of our animals. So they divided the land they were to cover, Ahab going in one direction and Obadiah in another. And as Obadiah was walking along, Elijah met him. Obadiah recognized him, bowed down to the ground, and said, is it really you, my lord Elijah? Yes, he replied. Go tell your master Elijah is here. What have I done wrong, asked Obadiah, that you are handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death? As surely as the Lord your God lives, there is not a nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claimed you were not there, he made them swear that they could not find you. But now you tell me to go to my master and say, Elijah is here? I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave you. If I go and tell Ahab and he doesn't find you, he will kill me. Yet I, your servant, have worshipped the Lord since my youth. Haven't you heard, my Lord, what I did while Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. And now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here? He will kill me.' Elijah said, 'As the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today.'" And so here is Obadiah kind of scared and fearful, just like Elisha's servant in the account from last week, where they were surrounded by the chariots of the enemy, and Elisha, had to open the servant's eyes to see the chariots of and horses of fire that were there to be on their side. And so Elijah consoles Obadiah, and he encourages him and says, "As surely as the Lord lives, I will present myself to Ahab today." Verse 16 of chapter 18, "So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And when he saw Elijah, he said, 'Is that you, you troubler of Israel?' 'I have not made trouble for Israel,' Elijah replied, 'but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table.' So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. And Elijah went before the people and said, 'How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him.' But the people said nothing." You know what? It's not so much different in the 21st century, folks, that there are a lot of people out there that don't know who they should serve or what's right or who's telling the truth or who's not. How long will you waver between two opinions? I want to encourage each one of us that we need to figure it out. We need to make up our minds. We need to either seek after the Lord and follow him, or follow Baal and Satan and all that's wrong and false. But you ought to make an informed decision based on what you know and not just what somebody's told you. You need to walk by faith and not by sight. And so it's sad that it says the people said nothing. In other words, they weren't willing to commit either way when the prophet of God confronted them. Then Elijah said to them in verse 22, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get 2 bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." They were kind of getting into this contest here. And Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "O Baal, answer us," they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened." So Elijah's having a little fun at their expense. Verse 28, "So they shouted louder, and they slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice, but there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention." And I'm sure you can guess why, because there is no Baal. There is no false god. There is no other god other than the Lord God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And so that's why no one answered. So when we come to verse 30, Elijah now is going to say to the people, come here to me. And so they came to Elijah, and Elijah is going to do something absolutely unheard of, uncalled, and just amazing at this particular time of drought and famine and everything else. So in verse 30, it continues on. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. And they came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold about 13 quarts of water. And then verse 33, he arranged the wood, cut the bowl into pieces, and laid it on the wood. And he said to them, fill four large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again, he said. And they did it again. Do it a third time, he ordered. And they did it a third time. And the water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. Now, you know, you might not think about that, but remember, there has been a famine in the land for over 3 years. So water is totally precious at a premium. And Elijah knows that and understands that. And yet here he's saying, listen, I want you to pour water over this sacrifice. I want it to be so drenched that there is no possibility that it could start on fire without the Lord doing it. And so not just douse it once, but twice, three times, the bowl, the wood, the altar, even the trench that they had dug around it was drenched and saturated with water. Then in verse 36, at the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and it also licked up the water in the trench. And when the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God! The Lord, he is God! You know, just a few short words from Elijah, calling on the name of the Lord, wanting God's name to be honored, and that people would turn back to him and serve him instead of the Baals. And fire from heaven came. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was standing there watching those prophets of Baal all morning and nothing happened, and then here it comes evening time, and Elijah prays this short prayer asking God to answer and to turn their hearts back again, and all of a sudden this fire, and who knows what that looked like, a huge tongue of fire, of flame, and came and consumed not just the sacrifice, but the stones and the soil, and just evaporated all the water. And when the people saw that, they were convinced. And they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And so, as a result of that, the prophets of Baal were seized and slaughtered there for their blasphemy. And Elijah told Ahab that he needed to go back to his camp because the rain was coming. And after all of this, it says, meanwhile, in verse 45, meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, and a heavy rain came on Ahab as he rode off to Jezreel. And the power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel, which was about 25 miles. I would have liked to known what his time was for that marathon race there. But the point is that God again performed an outstanding miracle. He caused fire to fall from heaven, and as a result, even for a short time, the people of Israel were turned back to the Lord their God. They saw how false Baal was and how useless it was to serve him. And I want to let you know today, even in the 21st century, now you might not be bowing down to idols or calling on Baal, but friend, if you're living without a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're missing out on something wonderful. You're missing out on a joy in life and a hope for tomorrow. And I just want to encourage you to please seek after the Lord. All right, well, that's about all the time that we have this morning. You can find us on the web at thechurchatlasvegas.com. You can come and join us on Sunday morning at 10:30 at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And we would love to get to know you a little bit better. Send any questions or concerns you have to thechurchatlv@centurylink.net. That's thechurchatlv@centurylink.net. And we look forward to hearing those and hearing more from you. Thanks so much again for listening this morning, and keep standing on the solid rock.